Now, winter is a challenging time for the health service in normal times, but this winter, with COVID-19 still spreading, health workers will proceed with trepidation and uncertainty into the coming months. Yesterday, the HSE Chief Executive Paul Reid spoke of some positive indicators in the way the virus is progressing here, but he also said that he was very apprehensive about the winter ahead. Well, Paul Reid is on the line now. Good morning and thank you for being with us.
Good morning, Justin.
Latest figures last evening show that there are now 330 confirmed cases of COVID-19 in hospitals. Of these, 43 are in intensive care units. Are those numbers manageable at the moment?
Yeah, well, we have seen a steady trend increase in both hospitalizations and the ICU over the past number of weeks. We are still managing. We are apprehensive, as I said yesterday, just looking forward. And that really is around a few issues. Firstly, there are some positive trends, and your listeners should take encouragement from them in terms of reduced cases, reduced positivity, and reduced contacts. But what we are watching out for is a kind of what I describe as a multi-lag effect. So increased numbers of cases in younger people, 19 and 24, that then progressing into increasing cases in the 65 age plus, which were more vulnerable, that then meaning more hospitalizations over the coming weeks, potentially more ICU, and ultimately what we all want to protect is more deaths. So it's more the look forwards that are apprehensive about. So just again, to reassure your listeners, we do have a very significant 600 million winter plan investment, which we're implementing at the moment to protect everybody.
Okay, and just looking at that lag effect that you speak of, that's where you have at the moment a lot of younger people who are infected with the virus. They may spread the virus to older people, and that's when the problems really will hit the health service. When do you expect that this virus will hit its peak in terms of hospital numbers and ICU cases over the winter?
Well, it's difficult at the moment to predict, but what we need to be cautious of is exactly what's happening in Europe. If you look at France, Spain, Italy, Belgium, and they are seeing those trends of the rising cases and then more hospitalizations, more infection rates in older people. So it's really as we look forward. I think if we can sustain the progress that we've made over the last week, manage to hold and turn the trend over the coming weeks, that gives us very significant protections throughout the winter, you know.
But are you planning for a particular point in the winter where you think things are going to hit their peak and be quite challenging for the hospitals and the ICU departments?
No, well, the modelling that was being done for an effort and well presented over the last couple of weeks did set out, you know, if we continued on the trend that we were at, the numbers of cases that we would see rising through November and towards the end of November would have put us at huge risk. But positively, what has happened over the past, well, we've probably some early effect from a later effect from the level 3 measures, and now what's happened over the past week, we are seeing that curve beginning to hold, and hopefully what everything we're doing can bring that down forward, and we don't see those predicted volumes.
Okay, now the last time, I suppose, in the first wave of this virus, the virus really hit in nursing homes. I know that you are providing, or the HSE is providing, intensive support to 5 nursing homes at the moment. Are you expecting, or are you prepared to provide support for others?
Yeah, well, overall, we're looking at, I mean, there's about 1,100 long-term residential care facilities for all the people that we would be, you know, supporting overall that we'd watch. Ultimately, in terms of nursing homes, obviously it's a high risk. There are about 20 to 25 that we would be giving a range of supports to. It's probably 4 who would be on higher risk at the moment in terms of a wider range of supports that we would be given to, and that would range from infection prevention control measures, multidisciplinary teams supporting as appropriate, arranging clinical care through GP, and in a very small number of cases where we may have to put in staff directly or support for the allocation of staff. But thankfully, they have the supports we've been working with those nursing homes have stabilised matters over the last week and few days, and that's what we want to continue.
Okay, now you spoke yesterday about a reassuring picture for schools with lower transmission rates in schools than there are in the community. But we know that some schools are struggling to get teachers and indeed students back because they may be self-isolating. What the teachers are asking for is rapid testing. Is that going to happen for them? Is rapid testing or is antigen testing going to be provided for schools?
Well, if you just stand back for the schools thing and specifically answer the question on rapid testing, on schools overall, what we have, and we set out yesterday, if you take the positivity rates of contacts in schools, so it's running at about 2.5% overall. It's lower actually in the post-primary, it's about 2%, and it's about 2.7% in primary. A small number of schools where we do see contagion spread. It's a marginal number, I think it's about 70 schools overall where you would see further spread. And in those cases, it's probably on average about 3 students or combination of students and teachers. So very low transmission levels. And that has held with the, if you just take, for example, the positivity rate of younger children before school was about 14% of our total cases. After when schools returned, it's about 15%. In terms of rapid testing, we do turn our tests around very quickly and we prioritise. The PCR test is the most reliable test at this point in time for everybody. Should antigen tests emerge, and we're evaluating them right now, and I do hope they emerge soon for certain purposes, but the PCR is the most reliable and most reliable one for schools.
You're expressing hope that the antigen test may emerge soon, but the teachers say they need it immediately, or they need it in the coming school term. Is that likely, do you think?
Well, antigen testing is going to take more time in terms of evaluation, but
more time do you think?
It's a process that's ongoing. It has been led through an effort in HICWA. We're contributing now in terms of the validation. But I think what the teachers have been urging, and we've been working very closely with them over the past week, and indeed school principals and Department of Education, is a wide range of supports. The test is our turnaround. We had one of our consultants of public health yesterday, Dr. Abby Collins, outlining the wide range of assessments that goes in with schools. Tests are looked at on batch,
yes,
and a wide range of assessments.
But I want just to bring you specifically back to antigen testing, or these rapid tests. I mean, should teachers and teacher unions, should they have an expectation that they're going to get those rapid tests between now and Christmas?
Well, I mean, that's an assessment that's going out on a wider perspective, not just in terms of schools. My sense and my judgment would be the PCR test is the most reliable test, and particularly for schools at this point in time. It is about turning the whole process around quickly, and that's what we've been working with over the past week with schools. And you know, I think it's more about what has happened this week and how we've worked with our schools again. The risks in schools in terms of transmission are much lower than they are in the general public in terms of contacts.
If they are lower than the general community, then, I mean, is it right to be prioritising schools for the fast turnaround of testing? Should you not be moving your focus, or shifting your focus to the community and away from schools if the transmission rate in schools is lower than it is in the community?
Well, look, I think the priority for all of us, including the HSE, has been to keep our schools open. We know the impact of not having children in school. We've done a paediatric support of it, and it's quite significant. And the risks of not having children in school are significant. So we all want to do that. What we have done at HSE, though, however, we've carried out serial testing in nursing homes still. We're still carrying out serial testing in meat plants. We've carried out testing in direct provision centres and other vulnerable locations. And we will do that as well as the general population.
All right. I'm sure you're keeping a close eye on the situation in Northern Ireland, which continues to be problematic. Have you had any requests yet from the Northern Ireland Health Service for assistance in treating COVID patients in the Republic of Ireland?
Yeah, at an operating level, we would have various levels of engagement with the North of Ireland. First of all, in the hospital level. Secondly, our lead ICU consultant for clinical care, Michael Power, would have they have a kind of shared group, which is called the North-South Critical Care Collaboration Group. And they would have been engaged over the past couple of weeks in particular, and in regular engagement throughout this week. There has not been a formal request for help in terms of ICU or other beds, but should that emerge, or should that request be made, our teams are working very closely and would be very willing to support. But I think
okay. And if that were to come, Paul Reid, would that have an impact then on other non-COVID services here?
Well, look, obviously we have to manage all of the risks. What we have managed so far to date in the Republic of Ireland is to keep the COVID care going and keep our non-COVID care services, including elective care. Now, some hospitals have had to turn the dial back on elective care that have gone into surge, but not many of our hospitals. But that's a whole set of risk crosses we would have to work through. But at this stage, we haven't had a request. And in the north, they are, in some cases, using their surge capacity, but not all yet.
All right. Paul Reid, Chief Executive of the Health Service Executive. Thank you for joining us on Morning Ireland. The time is 22 minutes past 8.